This message is brought to you by Cedar Springs Church. For more information, please visit cedarspringschurchnm.org.
Good morning. Cedar Springs Church. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. Good. For those of you who don't know me, which is probably most of you in this room, my name's Jay Leibold. I bring you greetings from my church in Albuquerque, Desert Springs. So I've gotten to know some of your pastor elders over the years at random events, TGC events, Simeon Trust workshops, and it is a joy to be here with you guys this morning. I don't work for Desert Springs, I'm just a faithful member, community group leader, I help in our children's ministry when asked, lead Sunday school classes when it's appropriate, But Monday through Friday, what I do is I work over at UNM, over on the campus of University of New Mexico, and I lead a campus ministry there called the Christian Challenge, formerly known as the BSU, the Baptist Student Union. It is now called the Christian Challenge, and I'm the director there. And so Monday through Friday, I spend 40 hours a week or more with college students, doing evangelism on campus, leading Bible studies, meeting with young men for discipleship, with the aim of getting them all to Jesus and to a good local church. So that's what I do during the week. So it's a joy to be with you guys this morning. I'm married, my wife Elise. I have a daughter who's 6. Kindergartners, any kindergartners in the room? No? Okay. And then I have a 3-year-old son who thinks he runs our house. Yeah. And so that's us. We moved to Albuquerque. We live way on the west side in the summer of 21. And so it's been a joy. I love Albuquerque. I don't know how often you guys hear people say that. But in all the places I've lived and where God has taken me and my family, we've found a home in Albuquerque. So it's a joy to be with you guys this morning. Today, we're going to be in Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is long. We're going to read the whole thing. But before we get to our psalm this morning, I wanted us to think for a moment about certain ways we respond to different situations. There are times in our life where things happen, we hear things, and sometimes we're torn on how to respond. Maybe you have a good friend or a family member who gets that dream job that they've been wanting for years and praying for, but that dream job causes them to move. And so you're torn. How do you respond? You respond with joy and excitement for them, but also grief and sadness for yourself and what this will mean. But there are other times in our life where there is a clear response, a proper response, as today's sermon is entitled. But there are times when it is appropriate to respond with a specific thing, with a specific attitude, emotion. For example, a couple weeks ago, right, the Olympics were going on. And as we watched and cheered on our hockey team, who won gold for the first time in a very long time, the proper response for our team and for those who love hockey is excitement, right? Celebration. If those guys who had just won gold responded in sadness and mourning, that would have been odd, right? There are proper responses to certain things. What about you receive a phone call that you were hoping you'd never get from a family member who is now sick? Many of us in this room have probably received phone calls like that before. The proper response is not, in those moments, one of joy and laughter, is it? It's sadness. It's grief. There are moments in our life where there are proper responses. I remember in college years ago, there was a time when I forgot about an exam. And I showed up to class and took that exam, not knowing that it was happening. And somehow, by God's grace, I passed that exam. And I responded in excitement, in cheer. The way we respond to things in our life, the way we respond to the things that happen to us or for us or that we hear, oftentimes will reveal what we think about those things, what we think about that person, what they've done for us. Do we find those things or that thing done to us or what we've just accomplished, do we find it valuable? So our response matters, brothers and sisters and friends. Oftentimes the way we respond, it reveals, do we care about what just happened? And the way we respond reveals it. So this morning, our psalm is really clear on how God's people are to respond to him. This psalm is about how God's people should respond to God's work of redemption in their lives. So the main point today, this morning, Psalm 107, is this. The redeemed life is a thankful life. The redeemed life is a thankful life. Psalm 107 is a psalm of thanksgiving. Very clear, and it's very straightforward. You will see from the beginning, in psalms of thanksgiving, they draw our attention to what God has done in our lives. Psalms of thanksgiving retell the story and thank God for how he is still active in the lives of his people. So, there are many psalms of thanksgiving found in the book of Psalms, but Psalm 107 is calling us to a proper response as God's people. So let's read our psalm for today. I want you to listen for the repetition. It'll probably take me maybe 4 to 5 minutes to read this. It's 43 verses. We're going to read all of it right now, and then we will walk through it. So buckle up. If your neighbors start snoring, pinch them. It won't distract me. So let's read Psalm 107 this morning. This is God speaking to his people. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so when he has redeemed them from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters, and they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea were hush. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for the wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, spring of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water and parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes, but he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who shows your steadfast love in so many ways. And so God, I pray this morning that we would see that there is a proper response to your steadfast love of redemption in our lives. It is thanksgiving. Pray that you would bless our time this morning. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, Psalm 107, our first point is our command. The psalm, the first three verses, is really clear. It doesn't hide anything. It gives away the psalm of what he's going to talk about for 43 verses. There's a command here at the beginning, our command as God's people. So right from the beginning, we see the main point. We are to give thanks to the Lord because his steadfast love endures forever. Our command is to give thanks, is to give to God what he is owed, which is thankfulness. And what we mean by thankfulness, we don't mean lip service, right? Like you're walking into a store and someone holds the door open for you and you know the proper response is thankfulness. Thanks, you say briefly. Maybe you acknowledge what they did was nice of them, but it doesn't change your day. It doesn't change what you think of that person, maybe. You just know that's the right thing to do, and you say thanks for grabbing the door. What this is talking about here, this thankfulness of the redeemed, of God's people, is not just lip service, but it's a thankfulness that comes from deep within. It's a thankfulness that is revealing that we truly value what God has done for us. But why are we to give thanks? He tells us right away in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. And how do we see his goodness? For his steadfast love endures forever. This phrase, oh, give thanks, Lord, for he is good, is the opening line to actually several other psalms. Psalm 106, Psalm 118, Psalm 136. This is not a unique phrase in the book of Psalms. You will see, give thanks, Lord, for he is good, over and over and over in the Psalms. What's unique about our psalm is it goes into, give thanks, Lord, for he is good. Why? For his steadfast love endures forever. And then as we will see, it goes on even into more detail about how does God reveal his steadfast love for his people? So when we think about this phrase, steadfast love endures forever, it's a love that is not just emotions or feelings. It doesn't ebb and flow like our happiness or sadness. It's a love that is full of action. And it's steadfast, it's immovable. It's unstoppable, it's faithful, it's loyal, it's determined. And it endures forever. It never grows tired or weary. It's never ending. It's unfailing. When I think about as a dad with my two kids, a couple weeks ago I was pretty sick. And on those sick days, it was really hard to have steadfast love for my kids. I was weary. I was tired. But it's not just on sick days where I struggle to love my kids the way I should, or my wife. It's on days where I'm just being selfish, where I'm thinking of myself more than others. There are moments where I struggle to love my family the way I'm supposed to. And why is that? I mean, part of it is because I'm a sinner. Part of it also is that I'm human. When I'm tired, it's hard to love people the way I'm supposed to. Do you know what I mean? But with God, who is not human, who is not like me, who is big, powerful, great, he does not grow weary of loving his people He does not grow tired of loving you day in and day out on your good days and on your bad days. He is faithful and steadfast and immovable towards his people. So God's faithful love endures forever to his people. So in the context of our psalm, we see tangibly the way God's steadfast love towards his people is in verses 2 and 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and from south. So, be thankful, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, because he has redeemed you. What does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed is a word that means to rescue or to buy back something. It's to go and get something and bring it home to yourself. And the redeemed in the subject are God's people. God is the redeemer of the redeemed. Verse 2 is telling us that this is what the redeemed of the Lord should do. It says this word here, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, is a continuous action. It is a lifestyle. It is an everyday ongoing thankfulness to God. It is not a one and done thing. It is not a, I prayed a prayer years ago of thankfulness and I've moved on. The redeemed of God are marked by a life of responding to God's redemption in thankfulness. So Psalm 107 comes after which psalm do you think? 106, right? And what comes before 106? 105, I know. And these two psalms are actually connected to our psalm here today. If you have time later today, go and read Psalm 105, 106, and then read our psalm again, 107. And you'll see that these three psalms are linked. Psalm 105, just to give us some context for our psalm, is a psalm recounting God rescuing his people from Egypt, from slavery. This is the story of the Exodus. Go and read it. So Psalm 105 is a psalm thanking and praising God for rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, which we could use the word God redeemed them. He ransomed them. He rescued them. That's what the story of Exodus is all about, God redeeming a people for himself. But Psalm 106, the tone shifts. It's no longer a psalm of thanksgiving, it's a psalm of lament. And what is a psalm of lament? A psalm of lament is one of God's people crying out for him to do what only he can do. And so there's different kinds of psalms of lament, but Psalm 106 is a psalm of lamenting sin. The people of God who were redeemed from slavery eventually turn away from the one true God who rescued them. And they turn to other gods. They show thankfulness to false gods. And because they rebelled and loved and worshiped other gods, they were taken into exile. This is the rest after Exodus. We get into Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then we get into the judges and the kings. By the end of the kings, the people of God had been taken into exile. They were once near God, and because of their sin and rebellion, God let them be taken off. And Moses warns of this actually at the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. He warns the people of God to beware from turning from their Redeemer. For if they do, they would be removed from God's presence and taken into exile. So Psalm 106 is a psalm of sadness for sin. And it ends with a plea to God. Psalm 106, verse 47, it ends like this. Save us, O God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. So Psalm 106 ends with a plea of God to rescue his people from exile. And then we get to Psalm 107. And it starts right off with declaring what? That God was faithful. That God heard their plea and their cry. Talked about at the end of Psalm 106. And he has responded to their cries with redemption. So a proper response by God redeeming them from their sin and rebellion is thankfulness. Praising God for what he has done for them, despite their sin. So if the psalm ended here, it actually would be still a really great psalm, wouldn't it? There are lots of short psalms. Psalm 117, 117 is a great one if you want to try to memorize a whole psalm. Psalm 131, Psalm 133 are all short, just a couple verses. But our psalm doesn't end here. Our psalm, the psalmist wants us to see the story of God's people. The psalmist will now, after this, for the next, 20 or so verses, retell the story of God redeeming his people. So maybe some of those stories, as we read through them, those four stanzas, maybe some of those resonated with you. So point number two is our story, the story of God's people, verses 4 through 32. This next section has four stories of stanzas of God redeeming and rescuing his people. Did any of you catch all of the repetition in there? Over and over and over, there were phrases repeated, even entire lines and verses on repeat. Each story seemed unique, and they were. But the stories all ended the same, didn't they? They all followed the same pattern of God rescuing his people. And we see in these four stanzas, the hungry and lost, they get direction and provision in the first one. The wanderers are retrieved in verses 4 through 9. The imprisoned and rebellious are humbled and freed. The prisoners released in verses 10 through 16. The sinful and dissatisfied are healed and are thankful. The sick are restored, verses 17 through 22. In the last stanza, the storm-tossed sea is calmed and the sailors safely arrive. The storm-tossed are rescued in verses 23 through 32. And so, we see four repeating steps found within this psalm of these four stanzas. We see at the beginning of each stanza that we see the situation, we see the calamity, we get a backstory to the people's lives. What was going on in their life before God showed up? And then they all cry out. They all see their need. Verses 6, verses 13, verses 19, verses 28, all say the exact same thing. They cry, they lament, they cry out to the one who can do something. And then step 3 is there's redemption, there's rescue. God delivers them and brings them all back to himself. But they aren't just rescued and brought back to God. Then they all respond properly, don't they? So 4 is response. Those delivered must praise God. So verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31 are almost all word for word the same. And then the verse after that, they respond accordingly with their life. Years ago, when my daughter was a baby, she loved to get her legs stuck in the bars of her crib. Now, I say love in a joking way, but she did it all the time. She was a master at getting her legs stuck. It was amazing. And when she was little, in her crib, she would get her legs stuck often, and she would cry. She understood her helplessness. She understood that she could not do anything to save herself, that she was trapped. So then she would cry out, knowing that she needed help, knowing that she needed rescue. And as a dad, I knew her cries. I knew the cries when she was angry, even as a baby. You know, as a parent, oh, that's just an angry cry. Okay, but as a parent, I knew a terrified cry, a helpless cry. So it didn't matter what time of day I heard that cry, whether it was in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day during her nap. When I heard that cry, I responded appropriately in rescuing her, in comforting her, just like God responds appropriately to his people when they cry. So have you ever been lost? Felt like you were wandering through life, felt like your soul was faint, sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, felt like you were in chains, you made bad decisions and felt trapped by the consequences, felt helpless, been in places in life where there was nothing but chaos, where you were unable to rescue and save yourself. Maybe you felt deep guilt and shame for things you've done. You've tried to make things right but can't seem to do it. You struggle to forgive. You can't move. You can't seem to stop that sin that controls your life. These are the people in our psalm. This is their story, where they found themselves far from God. These people eventually cry out. They eventually see their need that they cannot rescue or save or change their own circumstances. So in their trouble, they cry and he delivers. They cried and he delivered. They cried out and he delivered them. They cried and he delivered. He redeemed them all. He led them to a safe place. He broke their chains. He led them to the light. He healed and delivered them from their distress. He made the chaos stop and brought them to a safe place. This God is the same God today who loves and is still redeeming people. He loves to respond to those who cry out to him. So then how do they all respond? They all respond the same way at the heart level with gratitude and thankfulness. They each respond in this way, thanking God for his steadfast love towards them. And then they all respond in very practical, appropriate ways with their whole life. So for us, what's our takeaway? Is that the people cried out to God, the only one able to do anything for them in their situation. Have you cried out? Have you seen your need for God? And after they're redeemed, what do? They all respond the same way. So we are encouraged to thank God for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. God is good. He loves his people. He has not forgotten his people. He sees his people. He hears his people. So wherever you may find yourself today, if you cry out, do you know that he sees you? That he hears you? That he has not forgotten you as far from him as you think you are? That no one is too far gone for the one true God. So have you been redeemed? Are you one of the people who can add your story to Psalm 107? This God of Psalm 107 is the God who is still redeeming and rescuing his people. So if we were to, at the end of this, to all get up, the redeemed, and testify, what would your story be? Where were you before? When did you cry out? How did God deliver you? And what's been your life's response since then? So maybe this week, the homework here, I work with students, is maybe this week some application is, if you're part of the redeemed, would you write out the next stanza to Psalm 107? Of course, we don't add to God's word, but your story is the next story of God redeeming his people. Would you write it out this week? Four parts. Copy it and tell someone this week how God has redeemed you. But the psalm doesn't end there. It goes on to now shift from talking about the redeemed to who is this redeemer. So point number three is our redeemer, verses 33 through 42. There's a shift again in the psalm, going from repetition of telling the story of the redeemed to talking about who it is that's doing the redeeming. Right, we see his power here. He is the one who turns rivers into deserts and springs of water into thirsty ground. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and parched lands into springs of water. He blesses and he curses. He humbles the proud and exalts and lifts up the lowly, the needy. He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless waste, but he raises up the needy out of affliction. So we see in this final section of who it is that is the one doing the redeeming. We are reminded after the stories of God's redeeming power that he is ultimately the one who controls it all. It should be no coincidence that the newly redeemed, rescued, delivered are the ones who praise the Lord and declare his goodness to others. So just like fire can bring warmth and comfort and light, fire can also bring destruction, can't it? It's powerful when used inappropriately. It can breed death and chaos. The power of God is loving. His works are mighty and great to some. But his power towards the wicked is destructive, is crushing. That he holds all things together. That he makes rain pour onto the desert, and he removes water from paradise. Those who see their need for God see his power and his might, and it's a comfort. But those who do not see their need for God see his power and might and sovereignty as their enemy. So verse 42 says, it is the upright who see God's work and are glad. Only those who rightly see God can respond properly to him. So are you one of the upright? Are you part of the redeemed? So if you remember back in Psalm 106, the people of Israel found themselves in exile far from God because of their sin and rebellion. But that's all of us before God. All of us are born exiled far from God. Dead in our sin, rebels. All of us were born and lived in darkness in the world. We are like the people who are living in exile. We are wandering in darkness, bound in chains, sick because of our addiction to sin, and helpless to save ourselves. You can grow up hearing about Jesus like I did and not be redeemed. Did you know that? You can grow up going to church every day of your life and not be part of the redeemed. Like I was. Your grandma can be really faithful to Jesus and read her Bible and pray for you every day, and that doesn't mean you're part of the redeemed. So if you were to examine your own life right now, your own heart, and I was to ask you, what are you most thankful for? What would you say? Are you thankful for your own ability? You examine your own life and you say, I've gotten here because I've worked really hard. What would you be thankful for? Thankful for the money that you've earned over all these years of hard work? You're thankful for the good health that you supposedly have maintained all these years? What is it that you look to and are thankful for? That probably reveals what you love most and who your God is. So if you've never responded to God in thankfulness for redeeming you, you probably aren't redeemed. Can I say that? Just this last week, I was meeting with a young man on campus. He grew up in the church. His dad served as a pastor for years. And this last week he asked me, how do I know if I'm a Christian? And we talked. And it was very clear after talking to this young man that he was not one of the redeemed. He had never been thankful for what God had done for him. He had gone to many Easter services and kind of just not thought anything of it. He even sang a lot of Christian songs, played in the Christian band at church, but it didn't, they were just words. They never pierced his heart. And we sat there talking, and I asked him, "Are you thankful for God?" And he said, "I don't think so." And I said, "Have you ever been thankful for God?" And he said, "I don't think so." That was a heavy conversation this last week. So how is God, who is good and just and gracious and steadfast in love towards his people, how can he redeem and save? If you're in this room and you're redeemed, how did he do it? How is it possible? If you're in this room and you're thinking for the first time, maybe I'm not redeemed, how does it work? How does it happen? It's because 2,000 years ago, there was one who lived a perfect life, who was completely thankful in every right way, who loved perfectly, worshiped rightly, and suffered, was nailed to a cross. And when he cried out, guess what happened? He was forsaken. Matthew 27:46, we see this man named Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Son cried out and was rejected, forsaken, left there to die. But he willingly went to the cross and was forsaken. Why? So that he could redeem his people from utter darkness. He died to pay our redemption cost. He cried out and was rejected so that you could cry out and be delivered. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says this, he who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. That Jesus gave himself on the cross, was forsaken to buy back his people from our sin and our rebellion and to purify us to be his people. So redeemed, we're rescued and bought by Jesus, not for myself, so that I can keep going on living my own life, but to be his, to be with him, to be brought back from exile and to dwell and be in the presence of God. He redeems people unto himself so that we, his people, are no longer slaves to sin, but servants of the Most High God. I am his. He is mine. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 go on to say this, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is Christ doing the redeeming work, not me. He is delivering, not me. He is the one taking his people from the corners of the earth out of darkness and transferring us to himself, into his kingdom, for his possession. So because of what Christ has done for his people on the cross, paying for our sins and rebellion against God, we are then able to be with him. This is the good news of Jesus. You don't have to get yourself out of the sticky, messy, dark, sinful situation that you have found yourself in. Because you can't. He can. And for those of you in this room who are redeemed, he has. Amen? He alone has the power to raise the needy and humble and crush the proud and the wicked. Would you cry out to him today if you have not? If you have found yourself far from good, cry out and ask him to deliver you, and he will. But the psalm doesn't end here. We got one more verse and we're done. Keeps going. It ends with a reminder, a call, an invitation to wisdom. Verse 43, whoever is wise, let him attend these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. So this psalm ends with an invitation to wisdom. He's inviting us to continuously remember and consider the steadfast love of the Lord, to keep these things in their hearts, to treasure them, to understand God's loving kindness. Think about these things. Meditate on these things. Remember these things. Don't forget these things. So how do we do that? How do we remind ourselves of God's steadfast love for us seen in our redemption? This is one of the ways, brothers and sisters, right here. Sundays, we gather together with our church family to remind each other of our redemption. That's wise. That's good. It does more for our souls than many of us, I think, in this room think, to gather on Sunday mornings to worship and praise our God, to be reminded of our redemption, so that we can live lives of thankfulness. Other ways we do this is we read Scripture, we meditate on God's Word, we remember the stories of God's faithfulness for thousands of years to His people, and we remember His future promises to His people. But then also, I think another way we walk in wisdom of remembering God's steadfast love is we should be a people who love to talk about what God is doing in our lives. When was the last time you shared your redemption story, your testimony, to someone in this church? How sweet it is when God's people just get to sit around and, can I tell you how God has redeemed me? And you just go around the room. How amazing is that? So we're commanded to be thankful. And what does thankfulness do for our hearts? It reminds us where our joy comes from. That our joy, our peace is found in God alone and not in our circumstances. It helps us remember what is most important. It helps us remember who we should praise and live for. It keeps us humble. It keeps us needy people. So have you responded properly to God? My encouragement for you this morning, if you're not feeling very thankful, maybe you're in this room and you are the redeemed and you're just in a season of, it's just hard, of suffering for whatever reason, and you're struggling to be thankful. My encouragement for you, would you talk to someone about that? If you're struggling to be thankful for your redemption, thankful for God, would you talk to someone? Talk to one of your pastors. Talk to someone at this church that you trust, that you know loves you, that will point you and remind you of what's true, point you to Jesus. And like I said earlier, maybe something to help you. Would you write out your story of redemption this week? Look back on how God has been at work from the beginning. And that He is still at work in your life today. So, the redeemed life is a thankful life. This is our proper response as God's people. The redeemed life is a thankful life. Thanksgiving is not optional for God's people. It is the natural response of those who know they have been bought by Jesus, who cried out and was rejected so that you could cry out and be delivered. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for your redemption. And God, in moments where we struggle to be thankful, where we are struggling to acknowledge your steadfast love in our lives, would we remember how you have redeemed and rescued and saved your people? Comfort us, Spirit. Be with us this morning as we encourage one another, as we love one another, as we testify to your greatness to one another. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.